Shall we turn together this evening in God's Word to the Gospel of Mark and to the chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark and the chapter 7. And we're coming down to the final section of this chapter to take up our reading. There have been a number of various miracles already recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And there has been the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of the Lord walking upon the water, and different miracles of healing. And we're coming to one such miracle of healing in our scripture reading this evening. We're going to take up our reading in the 31st verse of Mark chapter 7. Mark 7 and the verse 31. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the 37th verse, and may the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts this evening. Shall we just unite together in prayer? As we come to the preaching of God's Word, we're conscious very much that we need His help this evening. And we look to the Lord now that He will give us that grace to preach and that grace to listen to the Word of God this evening. Our Heavenly Father and our gracious God, we do praise Thee for Thy presence and for help which has been given already in the Gospel meeting this evening. We thank Thee, our Father, before us we have Thy precious Word. And we thank Thee that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We thank Thee that Thy testimonies are sure, making wise the simple. And we pray this evening, our Father, that Thou would take up Thy truth. Thou would send it forth in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. And oh, we pray that Thou would soften hearts this evening. Hearts, our Father, that have been hardened against the gospel. Hearts, O God, that have become even as hard as the flint this evening. We pray that Thou would take up the hammer of Thy word. And oh, that Thou would break the hardened heart in pieces this evening. Thou would indeed touch each one of our hearts with that nail-pierced hand. And even now that great grace would be given, as we would seek to proclaim Thy truth, do hide man far behind the cross of Calvary, and grant that none would be seen, save Jesus only, for we ask it in His precious name. Amen. Deafness must be one of the worst afflictions that anyone would have to endure. It's one thing whenever one is growing older, and their hearing begins to dull. That can be a great enough difficulty in itself. And you have to look for the different aids in order to help you to hear. That's a terrible enough affliction for anyone to have to endure. But the man in this passage of God's Word this evening is a man who is totally deaf. A man whom I believe has been deaf even from birth. And as we come to this passage of God's Word, we're coming here to see the record which Mark alone gives of this particular miracle of healing. A man who is brought to the Savior, and they beseech the Lord Jesus Christ that he might but put his hand upon this man who was deaf and also had the impediment in his speech. He was deaf and dumb. And as we consider tonight together his deafness, I believe it is a study that is worthy in the gospel this evening. And very simply together tonight, I want us to look at these verses of Scripture and to step through them and to look at this miracle of healing and to see what lessons we can draw in the gospel tonight. Now, the first thing we think about here is the condition of this man, the one who was brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. His condition is described there in verse 32. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And so we're looking tonight at a man who was deaf and a man who had that impediment in his speech, and we believe the two things are connected. I think the one is the cause of the other. If he was deaf from birth, as we suspect that he was, then it would have been unlikely that he could ever talk or he could ever communicate, because we learn to talk by listening to others. And the fact that this man's tongue was tied and that this man could not speak, it indicates that his deafness was more than likely from his birth. Now, being able to hear and being able to speak must be one of the greatest blessings and the greatest mercies that we could have from the Lord. Being able to listen to those around us, being able to speak and being able to communicate with our fellow men, surely it must be among the greatest blessings that God has given to us. And when we think of our hearing and we think of how we're able to use our tongues, yes, we can say that we're fearfully and we're wonderfully made. The hearing there, and we're able to hear the Word of God. In using our tongues, we're able to use the tongue to glorify the Lord. We're able to use the tongue to praise the Lord in song. We're able to use the tongue to witness, to speak, and to testify of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And therefore, those who are unable to hear, those who are unable to speak, they deserve our compassion. They ought to have our pity, and they ought to have our help as well. And over there in the book of Leviticus, in the Levitical law, we find that the Lord makes special provision, and he shows compassion to those who were deaf, and also here to those who were blind. If you look in Leviticus chapter 19, and there in the 14th verse, we find there the provision that was made for those who were disabled and afflicted in such a way. Leviticus 19 and the verse 14, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God. I am the Lord." There you can see within the Levitical law that the deaf and the blind and those afflicted in such a way, they were to receive the pity and they were to receive the compassion of the people of God. And that pity and that compassion, that tender heart towards those who were afflicted, was there to be given in the fear of God, knowing that the Lord was looking on. Therefore, we ought to have that compassion for those who are around us, and we ought to safeguard them, and we ought to seek to help them. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he came in the fullness of time, the Lord came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And therefore, it's not surprising that whenever the Savior was upon this scene of time, and the Savior walked on this earth, and he met those who were afflicted in such a way, It's not unmindful that the Savior here would be fulfilling the law and actually showing them that compassion. We see an example of it in Matthew chapter 15. And there in the verse 30 it says, "And the great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." And so there's the Savior, and he's going about doing good. They're bringing the multitudes before the Lord of those who have affliction such as the man in our passage tonight. And the Lord showed that compassion, and the Lord was pleased to heal them. And therefore, we're seeing it in Mark's Gospel in the chapter 7 with the deaf man, the one who is brought before the Lord, and he was deaf. And as we think of his condition, surely that represents to us the condition of the sinner. That's speaking to us about the ear of the unconverted spiritually. Because those who would be unsaved tonight, their ear is closed to the gospel. Their ear is deaf to the voice of God. And spiritually, their ear needs to be opened. Wasn't that the prayer that was there recorded in Isaiah? In that great chapter of revival, Isaiah, and the chapter 35, and it tells us there in the verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." And that's what we need in the gospel. Those whose ears have been deaf to the voice of God, we need their ears to be unstopped. Also in Isaiah, we find there in the chapter 42 as well, that there is that similar prayer in the verse 18, "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see." Also in Jeremiah, and the chapter 6 and the verse 10, it speaks to us there about the ear that is uncircumcised. The uncircumcised ear is the ear that refuses to listen to instruction. It's an ear that is deaf. Doesn't that well explain the sinner? The one who can sit under the sound of the gospel, and yet their ear is deaf. They refuse to listen to the instruction of the Word of God. They refuse to take it in. They refuse to heed the word of the living God. And thus we can well see the condition of this man represents the condition of the sinner. But I want you to notice, secondly, from this portion of God's word this evening, the communicating with this man. We read there in Mark 7 and the verse 33, "And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephatha," that is, "be opened." Now, I marveled whenever I read this portion of Scripture at the way the Lord Jesus Christ sensitively and tenderly deals with this poor afflicted individual. You can notice here the actions of the Lord in his dealings with this man. The very first thing that he does in verse 33, it says, "And he took him aside." Now, there's something that I've discovered about those who are deaf, and that is they don't like to be in great crowds of people. They don't like to be amongst the multitude when they haven't a clue what's going on and what's the topic of conversation. They feel nervous, they feel isolated, they become embarrassed, and they don't like to be in the crowd, let alone become the very center of the crowd's attention. So what does the Lord do with this individual? It tells us that the Lord took him aside. There we can see a compassionate and a tender-hearted Savior when he takes him away from the gaze of eyes, and he takes him to the private place And there he's going to communicate with this man. And as we see the actions here unfolding, it's as if the Lord is using his own form of sign language in order to speak to this man. And I want you for a moment just to put yourself in the position of this man, and he can't hear and he can't speak, but the Lord's going to communicate with him. You notice there in verse 33, once he has taken him aside from the multitude, it says, and put his fingers into his ears. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is putting his finger upon the very problem with this man. Here the Savior is putting his finger upon the very thing that was this man's difficulty and this man's affliction, and the Savior is identifying with the need of this individual. He's able to come and show him that he's fully aware of his condition. He knows his great need. The Savior's able to come and just put his finger right upon his need. And so he takes him aside and he puts his fingers into his ears. But you notice the next thing in verse 33, it says, and he spit. It's sometimes difficult for us to comprehend this, that the Lord Jesus Christ was spitting. And to understand that, we must put ourselves into the context of Bible times. And it was believed at that time that saliva actually contained some sort of healing property. It was believed that there was this medicinal element to it. And that was believed in some cases that it was curative. And so it was a symbol of cure. Therefore the Lord has taken this man aside. He's put his fingers upon the problem with this man. And he's communicating to him through the spittle that he's going to cure his problem. The Lord is showing to him here that he's wanting to heal this man. That spittle was the Lord signaling to the man that he intended to heal the problem with his ears. Something that the Lord did in other miracles as well. There are 3 miracles of healing where the Lord uses the spittle. 2 of them concerns the blind, and the one here is with the deaf. The blind were going to be able to feel the spittle, which represented healing, and the deaf were able to see it, signaling that the Lord was going to heal in each case. But then you'll notice as well, at the end of verse 33, it says, and touched his tongue. The Lord knew all about the problem with his ears. The Lord knew all about the problem he had with his tongue as well. Now we can see the omniscience of the Lord. He's the one who knows everything. And he's the one who knows all about each individual in the gospel meeting tonight. And he knows all of the problems that you're having to contend with. And the Lord is able to come and put his very finger upon those problems this evening. You can see, looking into the verse 34, that the next action of the Lord, it says, and looking up to heaven. And if you follow the sequence of events here with the Lord, where he has taken this man aside from the multitude, he's put his fingers into his ears, he has spat, and he's now touched his tongue. And he's indicated to the man that he's going to heal his problem, but he's looking up to heaven. And he's showing him that this healing that he was going to receive was from above. Oh, the virtue would go out of the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself had the power to heal. Yet he's revealing to this poor individual that it's going to be a heavenly healing. You can see it as well there in the verse 34. And looking up to heaven, he sighed. The deaf man wouldn't hear the sigh, but he could see it. He knew well the actions here of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was looking up into heaven. That was speaking of prayer. And there's a sigh there that's speaking to us of compassion. It was a sigh of pity. It was a sigh of tenderness. It was a sigh of sympathy. There was a sigh of love from the Lord Jesus Christ. He pitied this poor man. And isn't he tonight our great high priest? The one who was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He himself was tempted on all points like as we are, yet he's the one who is without sin. But there's the sigh of compassion. This man knows that the Lord Jesus Christ intends to heal him. He has wonderfully communicated with this man. Dear unconverted soul in the meeting tonight, the same Savior is able to come. And he's able to take you aside, as it were, personally and individually in this congregation tonight. And he's able to communicate with you. He's able to speak to your heart. He's able to put his finger upon the very problem of sin in your life. That sin that would take you to the Christ rejecter's hell. The Lord, through his word, could be putting his finger upon that sin in your life tonight and identifying that problem. But oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is still the same, and he's the one who desires that he might heal your sin-sick soul. Oh, tonight he has that heavenly healing. He's the Son that has risen with healing in his wings. He's the one who's able to come and to forgive you your sin this evening and to heal your sin-sick soul. He has that compassion. He has that love for the unconverted this evening. And the Lord is still that tender heart toward the unconverted. And so we can see the condition of this man. We can see the Lord communicating with this man. But I want you to notice the curing of this man. You can see it there in verse 34. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. A man whose ears were shut. A man whose ears was stopped. A man whose ears were closed. A man who had heard absolutely nothing. And his ears are now opened. He's able to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the application spiritually in the gospel this evening. There are those whose ears have been deaf to his voice. There are those whose ears tonight and have been clogged up with all of the voices of this old world. And have been clogged up with all sorts of things that have been stopped with the clamor of this old world. And your ear tonight has been deaf to the message of redeeming grace. But the Lord is able to come, and he's able to one stop your deafened ear. If your ear tonight would be opened to hear the message of the Lord saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you sat in the gospel meeting week after week and month after month and year after year, and you've listened to the best of gospel preaching, and yet it just seems to bounce off. Doesn't seem to have any impression. It's as if you haven't heard it at all. The Bible lays great emphasis on the need to hear the word and to live through that word. If you just care to look with me in the Gospel of Mark and turn over to chapter 4. And here in chapter 4, the Lord has been teaching by the seaside. There's a great multitude that have gathered to hear the Savior. And he's preaching the Gospel in all its power and in all its purity. But he's punctuating the message. And he's punctuating the message with an appeal that the multitude that had gathered would actually hear his voice. Look at verse 9. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, don't let the word of God just bounce off you as if you didn't hear it at all. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 23 of that same chapter. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. You turn over to the chapter we have been reading from, Mark chapter 7. You look there in the 16th verse, And again, as the Saviour is teaching, he makes that same appeal. And he said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. It's not just a matter of hearing physically with the outward ear. It's a matter of hearing spiritually with the inner ear of the heart. Didn't the Lord make a similar appeal when he was writing there to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3 of the Revelation? And you could trace there the seven times at the end of each of the letters that the Lord was giving to the churches. We see, for example, in Revelation 2 and the verse 7, and there it's to the church at Ephesus. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Verse 11, it's repeated. Verse 17, it's repeated. Verse 29, it's repeated. Seven times there in those two chapters. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. No, tonight in the gospel meeting, that would be our desire for the sinner, that you would have an ear to hear the Word of God. Paul said to the Hebrews today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. If you hear the voice of God coming and challenging you this evening, and revealing to you through the Word of God that you're unprepared for the great eternity, and the Spirit of God is striving with you, and you hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart, we would re-echo the words of the Apostle today. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You need to hear with the inner ear, and you need to heed that invitation of the Savior in the Gospel. Back in our portion there in Mark 7, not only was this man's ears open, but his tongue was loosed as well. You can see it in verse 35, and straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And again, there's application there in the Gospel. The one who hears the Word of life, the one who hears the voice of God, the one who closes in with his offer of mercy, he's going to have his tongue loosed. The tongue which James teaches us that no man can tame. The tongue that has blasphemed the very name of God, and the tongue that has used those oaths and curses, it's the tongue that can be loosed. The tongue that can be set free from sin. The tongue that can be used to the glory and the praise of the Lord's dear name. That's what God is able to do through the power of the Gospel this evening. The hymn writer said, my Savior loosed my tongue that I might sing His praise. Since then I have been singing glory all the day. And for the sinner to get saved this evening, they must be cured of that spiritual deafness. You must hear the Word of God, and you must obey the Word of God. But then just lastly this evening, I want us to notice here the conclusion concerning this man. If you look there in verse 37, and here once they have witnessed that this man who has been deaf from his birth, he has now been gloriously healed. A great miracle has taken place. And verse 37 shows us the reaction. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. We were singing the words a little earlier in the service. He hath done all things well. They were absolutely amazed. They were astonished at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great glory is brought to the name of our Savior. Honor is given to the Lord as a result of this miracle of healing, and they're able to give their verdict together. And their verdict is, He hath done all things well. And no matter what work we look to that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, we could write that over it. We could look at the work of the Lord there in redemption, and we think of how He loved us so much that He gave Himself for us.
and how he poured out his life unto death, and his precious blood was shed there on Calvary that he might redeem us from hell. We have to say tonight, my Saviour, I've done all things well. Each one tonight in the meeting who's saved, we look on how the Lord has dealt with us, yea, even over the past year, the year that has just gone into eternity. We have to say, if the Lord's faithfulness, we testify tonight, He hath done all things well. But you know, in regard to the Lord's plan of redemption, man could never have devised that plan. That took the infinite wisdom of Almighty God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there in eternity past, they devised the way. There in the fullness of time, the Lord Jesus Christ was to come forth, and we could never fully grasp it or fully understand it, how God can be just and remain just and yet justify the sinner. How he could be the priest and yet at the same time make his soul an offering for sin. How he could die and lay down his life and yet see of his seed. How he could see of the travail of his soul and still be satisfied. How he could be numbered with the transgressors and yet make intercession for the transgressors. You know, we could never have devised it. We can never fully understand it. But we have to say here with the multitude that we are beyond measure astonished. And we say, He hath done all things well. That was the verdict given here on the healing of the deaf man. But on every saved soul in the gospel meeting tonight, it's the same verdict. And if there was one here at the close of this gospel meeting, and that you would hear tonight with the inner ear, and you would hear the voice of God to your heart, and you would be prepared to accept the invitation to come to the Savior, you'd be able to heal your sin-sick soul. There's cleansing in the precious blood of the Lamb. The Lord says, come now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if you bow tonight as a sinner, coming to Jesus, repenting of your sin, just putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary, then the burden of your sin can be lifted. And you can go away from God's house this evening as a child of God, knowing that it's well with your soul, having the peace of God within your heart this evening. And without a shadow of a doubt, your verdict will be, He hath done all things well. May the Lord give you that grace that you might come this evening.